In the last 3 weeks, we've been hearing from Jesus' great sermon on the Mount. In the first week, we heard the Beatitudes, and I told us that the Beatitudes invite us to radically love as Jesus Christ has loved us. And the Beatitudes also call us to live in communion with one another. And I said we were made in communion, and so we must live in communion. And we all were created in the image and likeness of one God. So that we don't look at other people as strangers, but we look at them as sons and daughters of God, because we have one big God. Last week, Jesus Christ, as part of his sermon on the Mount, told us that we are the light of the world. And he said, no one lights a lamp and hides it. It is placed in the lampstand so that it will illuminate the whole house. And one of the things I said last week was, in ancient Palestine, the houses did not have several rooms like our houses today. A house was just one big room, and there was a lampstand. When a light was placed in the lampstand, it illuminated the whole house. And I invited us to look at the one big house also as a one big world. We have one big world created by our one big God. Our light must illuminate throughout the whole world. In today's gospel, Jesus Christ tells us that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Again and again in the gospel, Jesus Christ says, you heard that it was said, and this is what I'm offering you. He's teaching his followers new values. He's teaching them a new way of life, a radical way of living. The people were very familiar with the laws, and for most part they tried to live their lives according to the laws. So their life was about navigating through the different laws they have to obey. But what Jesus Christ is inviting us, his followers, to do, not to just get fixated on the laws in front of us, but to live fully as God wants us to live. For most of us, we treat religion, or we treat our faith, just as our day-to-day dealings at our workplaces. We have to navigate relationships. We have to do things just to stay out of trouble. We have to try to deal with very difficult people. But we don't live freely. We are kind of like in prison in our environment. So that we take the Ten Commandments and we look at them and we say, okay, what must I not do in order not to break this commandment? If you've been following the news in the last 2 weeks, there's been a new app on confession. And immediately I saw the app about a week ago. It was the day before I was going to go to confession. And I bought the app. And what is very cool about the app is, you tell the app if you're a priest, if you're married, if you're single, and it generates a list of your possible sins. So I got the list and I started going through each of the sins, and I'm checking the ones I wanted to confess. I'm going through the different sins. But the app is based on the Ten Commandments. When I got to the end of the app, I asked the end of the generated list, I asked myself, what more things have I done that are not just part of the Ten Commandments the way they are? Christ wants me to live more than just trying to look at these Ten Commandments in their face value and say, this is what I've done and this is what I have not done. Yes, I did not kill anyone, but did I live in support of human life? As I started reflecting, and then many other things started coming to mind. Maybe not driving very carefully, maybe being distracted while driving. When that happens, I'm endangering the lives of other people traveling on the same road with me. Started thinking about the times I've been very lazy, not recycling something that I should recycle, thereby destroying the environment. So that Christ, in today's gospel, is calling us to a higher way of living. Christ offers us a new way of living, a way of living radically, a way of being different in the world. The first invitation is an invitation to relationships. And this ties back to the very first week when I talked about our communion with each other. In the gospel, Jesus Christ tells us, if we are coming to the altar to present our gifts, and we recognize or we realize that someone has something against us, we must leave our gifts at the altar, go and reconcile with that person before we offer our gifts. Christ wants us to be in relationship always with other people. It is very important for us as Christians to be in these good relationships, because when we are not, sooner or later we begin to categorize some people as enemies, some people who are unlovable, some people that are that need to be hated. And that's not how to live as Christians, because we are all one body, because we are all sons and daughters of one God. We must love each person. We must not have an enemy list. The people to hate, the people that are unlovable, the people that we don't need to care for. So the first challenge Jesus Christ gives us in today's gospel is to always be in relationship. The second challenge Jesus Christ gives to us is to be people who support life. To be people who support life. In the gospel, he said to them, you heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill. That's not enough for Jesus. I can sit here and pat myself on my back and say, I have not killed anyone. But Jesus calls us to something higher. Yes, we may not have killed anyone. Have we supported human life? Have we supported human life? One way of supporting human life is to be anti-abortion. That's just one aspect, but that's not enough for us as Christians. We must do more than that. Cardinal Bernardin used to speak of the seamless garment being consistently for life. We can't begin to pick and choose and say, well, I'm going to support policies or things that are anti-abortion, but I'm not going to support those that are anti-capital punishment. That is not being consistently in support of life. We are called to be consistently in support of all human life. We don't only care about the unborn, but we must also care about those who are dying of starvation, those who are dying because of poverty, those who are dying because they do not have health care, those who are dying as a result of the way we treat our environment. There are several ways in which we can support life, and we must support life in all forms. Not just one form, in all forms. Also, other things to think about as we talk about life is, ask yourself, when you drive, do you text? When you do that, you're endangering the lives of other people on the road. That's not supporting life, when you text and drive. Do you get so distracted when you are driving? When you do that, you are not supporting human life. Do you recycle? they overspeak. So there are several other ways in which we may not be supporting human life. Yet Christ calls us to support all forms of life. God never gives up on any one of us, and we must not give up on other people. We must not give up. There's no group of people that is worth dying. No group of people. Again, because we are all sons and daughters of one God. Also, to support life means we must not wage unjust and unnecessary wars, even if they are to our own advantage. Christians must consistently support human life, all forms of human life. In today's gospel, Jesus Christ also tells us that you heard that it was said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I'm saying to you, even if you lust, you've already committed adultery. And Jesus Christ is inviting us to a higher way of living. If Jesus Christ was here today, he probably would have said something on pornography. Because that is exploitation. That's exploitation. It's one of the biggest industries in the world. $57 billion. All the innovation, internet innovation, is all driven by that one industry. 20% of men are addicted. 17% of women are addicted. 40 million Americans are addicted. That's not how God calls us to live. Today's gospel teaches us not to exploit others. That's what pornography does. It is exploitation of other people. I don't care if you pay for it. You're exploiting someone somewhere. You're exploiting someone somewhere. Christ calls us not to exploit other people. Why exploit other people? We are all sons and daughters of one God. Pornography is debasing, is dehumanizing other people. It is saying to the person being exploited, "You are not a human being. You are an object for my own sexual gratification." That's what pornography is. Dehumanizing other people. Exploiting other people. Christ calls us not to exploit other people. This ties into the first week again. We are all created in the image and likeness of one God. The person you are exploiting, you are saying that person is not a human being. That person is not created by our one big God. There are several other ways in which we exploit other people. Maybe sex clubs or strip clubs. Being cheating on your spouse. Those are all other ways in which we exploit other people. That's not the way to live as Christians. It might be something you are struggling with in your life. Never give up hope. Don't say, "I can't get out of this." Never give up hope. There's always hope. Christ never gives up on, gives up on us. We must constantly ask him for the graces to be able to overcome these weaknesses in our lives. For your challenge this week, I'm going to ask you, think about the different ways in which you have not been pro-life and in the different ways in which you have exploited other people. Make a commitment this week to try to be pro-life, all forms of life, and also to stop the exploitation of others.